So today's Mishnah in Masechet Parah, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh. Now, I'm a little bit challenged at exactly what Mishnah we were up to, so perhaps one of you would be willing to give me a hand. I think we're up to Perek Daled. Mishnah Aleph, is that possible, or did we not finish the third perek yet? Nobody's going to help me. I say I'm going to have to make my own way. I know we did the Lomatsu Misheva. We talked about the number. We talked about the Kevesh. We talked about a Pora who refuses to go. I wonder why he would do that. I think we only got up to Mishneh Chet, okay? And if we did, so you'll be Meichel me. We'll do it again. All right, let me start this again. Today's Mishnah in Masechet Parah is Perek Gimel Mishneh Chet. So now we get to the Mishnah we mentioned earlier as a machlokas between the Rambam and other Rishonim, how exactly it's meant to be understood. Somchu Yedeyem Alav, so the members of the Ziknei Yisrael who had walked, as we saw yesterday, they who are there waiting for the Kohen, they put their hands on his head. Now why do they put their hands on his head? So everybody else, except for the Rambam, understands that putting the hands on the head was the actual being mitame the Kohen Asarif as Hapara. The problem with it, as we pointed out yesterday, is that would not prove anything lahotzi milibam shel tzedukim. Because basically, as far as the tzedukim are concerned, you didn't do anything at all. Because the tzedukim don't believe in the malos of para. As a matter of fact, even you don't believe in the malos of para. The only reason you made the malos of para that somebody was completely tar, where the Ziknei Yisrael were completely tar for Kadesh, and would say that nonetheless, if you touch the Kohen Gadol who's going to be burning the para, you're going to be metamein. But the only reason we made that kind in the first place is because of the fact that the tzedukim are going to be making fun of our being metame the para. But if we're not being metame the para according to the tzedukim, the whole thing breaks down. And therefore, it's a very, very strange bubble in which the tzedukim would have said that you're doing something ridiculous because you're being metameim, but they don't believe you're being metameim. But since they would have said that if you were metameim, you were doing something wrong, so now we have to be more machmer because we need to be motzias liba, the Rambam doesn't buy into that. So going to the Rambam, two separate issues. We were metameim oyu et sakoyen asurf zapar, that's not mentioned in the Mishnah here. And the somcha yedeim is simply a point, as the way that the Tosfos Yontev learns, that it was a derech of kovod to address the Kohen Gadol. And that therefore, when they say to him, and this is beautiful, because the language that they say to him is precisely what we say to the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim when we talk to him. Ishi Kohen Gadol, right? What? That's amazing. So this again is another beautiful example of Kasher also b'yom hazeh, Tiva Hashem la'aseis, and that's the Pora and Yom HaKippurim that we learn out from the Miluim. So we use the same language, Ishi Kohen Gadol, Tvol Achat, Yorad v'taval, same words. Remember how we say this on Yom Kippur, Yorad v'taval, v'alav, v'nistapag. Okay, so he comes out, and he's actually dries himself. So now all of this, point of all of this is because even though the Kohen has been tahor this whole time and there was no tumor whatsoever, nonetheless, before you go ahead and do something of the Avodas HaPorah, you have to actually go to the mikvahs, one of the chumras. And therefore, we do all of this to make that chumra clear. The Eitzim, Ayum Mesudarim Sham, we already had wood that was ready there in order to burn the para with. Now these were not just any Eitzim, but they were Atzei Arazim, Vooranim, Uvroshim. So we had cedar. We had, I think that they translate Oranim as laurel. Brosh is usually boxwood. Te'ina is fig, but Dafka smooth fig. so that there wouldn't be any knots, because we don't want knots. These are all woods that are smooth. They have very few knots. And the advantage of that is that they will oxidize rapidly, and because of that, you'll have a high temperature fire. So we want to use the highest temperature we can use. And we make like a shape that looks like an actual tower, except that on top, it is flat in order for the coin to be able to stand on it and to be, once again, he's still protected from the tumah. But we open up a lot of air openings around it so that it's going to burn well. The chazita, the front where we're going to be putting in, I think we did this mission yesterday, the front where we're going to be putting in the flame, which we'll discuss exactly what that was later, that faced the Beis HaMikdash, because everything that you were doing before, which was the Hazoya and so on, everything is done towards the Beis HaMikdash. That was all ready to be done. Now, the question is how to be Mekayim the rest of the mitzvahs that we have about the Parah Adonah, because we also were told that you have to take all of these additional things with the Aseres and the Ezov and so on. So then, here's the way that we did it. So kefatu b'chevel shomagag. So first of all, we wanted to tie up the parah, but we have to be careful that it can't be something that would be makapel tuma. So this is Mishnah Tess. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, of course. Perek Gimel Mishnah, not Mishnah Tet. Fine. So now we have to be careful to use a type of thing, just like everything was done with Klei Avonim and Klei Gelolim. So the equivalent in Chevel is to make a Chevel out of reeds. So it's not Mekabel Tumah. Instead of something which, even though the Maisa, a normal rope is not something that could be Mekabel Tumah, but it's possible, theoretically, if I would have had something that was shalosh b'shalosh made out of this stuff, it would be makabel tumah if I was using something that was more like a typical material. Hashenken, if you're using gemi, so that wouldn't be makabel tumah at all, even if it were shalosh b'shalosh, or maybe we make the rope out of it. This is like a chumra agape chumra, and nitanua agape mahamaracha, rosha b'darom ufanel ma'arav. So what we do is we take the Parah Adonah, we tie its legs together, we put it on top of this tower, and it faces, another one, we say it faces, we mean not that it's looking towards, but that the head is towards the south, and then we turn its head to be facing, to be looking at the Beis HaMikdash, which would be facing towards the west, because it is on Har HaZeisim, east of the Mikdash. HaKohen omed b'mizrach upanav l'maharav. Now the Kohen, he's facing from behind, also looking towards the Beis HaMikdash, and shachat b'yamino, he uses his right hand to do the shechita, and he's mekabel the dam b'smolo, and it's a question whether b'smolo means literally b'smolo with his hand, which is the way the Rambam understands it, that since it says v'lakach el azar ha-kohen midama be'etzba'o, and it doesn't say to be mekabel it in a kli, so it means that it's supposed to go directly into his hand. So then that means if he's mekabel the dam in his left hand, he can then take his right finger and use it to dip into that dam, and then he's able to do the hazoya. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the din is that it's like all korbanas, the kabbalah of the dam has to be b'yamino. And b'yamino haya mekabel adam, so then how is it that he takes it with his right, if he's using his right to hold the dam? Because then he's no tain l'smolo. And the mazoya has to be done.
Let's hold it in a clean.
And that's not clear. This is about Chokas Rishonim, whether Bechlal anybody holds it, it's Biyad Velo Bekli. According to the Rambam, everybody agrees it's Biyad. According to the Ravid, it's Bekli. Or not, it's not necessarily Bekli, but it's not Ma'akev, according to the Ravid. Okay, so now it'll be Mazah with his right finger, And the reason that Reb Yehuda holds this is because remember that, well, everybody holds this. Every place it says, Etzba v'kuna, kobokub shenamra etzba v'kuna, ena el yamin. Fine. Toval, so now he dips his finger into the dam. Vizar sheva pa'amim, and now he does hazayah. We'll see, that doesn't mean that he dips it once and does hazayah seven times, but we'll get to that in a moment. Towards the petach of the heichal, because it says, v'lakach ha'lazara ko'in midama be'etzba'o, v'yizah el nochach p'nei o'amoid midama sheva pa'amim. But that doesn't mean one dip sheva pa'amim. It means al kol hazayah tvila. You have to put new dam for every one of these hazayas, and you have to wipe off the remainder with the shiori adam, which is possible for hazah, between the hazayas. That's a machlokas where you're actually going to wipe it off. According to Rambam, you wipe it off on the actual hair of the parah aduma, so that even though you might get your finger dirty, but he doesn't hold that there's such a thing as a mizrak over here at all. So there's no mizrak to wipe it up on, because according to the Rambam, you were mekabel it in your hand. So where else could you wipe it? But if you hold that there was a mizrak, so then the normal wiping a finger is on, that's why it's called kippurei zahav, right? Kippurei is because you're being cleaning your mechaper, your finger on it. But according to the Rambam, that doesn't apply over here. Okay, so you have to be mikaneach your fingers in order to make sure you don't have any posel tam. Gomar milahazot, kinach es yado begufa shalpara. So according to those who learned that there was a mizrak, the only time that you wipe off your finger on the actual goof of the para is at the end. Because then we don't care if you get some of the hairs of the para on your hand. So, okay. The question over here is between these hazoyas. So, and the Gemara, it says you use a mizrak, but this makes a problem for those who hold that there was no mizrak. All right. Anyway, so, well, I might as well mention the fact that, even though it's not mentioned in the Mishnah over here, I mean, what do we do with the fact that if you hold the Kabbalah Satam is in your hand, so what mizrak is it? What is the Gemara talking about? So the Ravid gives the pshat that a mizrak is not necessarily there for the Kabbalah, but you actually would bring the dam to the Sreifa, because you need to have all of the blood that is burnt along with the Parah Aduma. So because of that, you don't want it scattering. And therefore, you bring the dam to the Sreifa. Again, the Rambam argues on all of that. There was no Mizrak. And he does all the Kinuchim, not only Gomra Milahazos, but all the Kinuchim were done on the Gufa Shalpar. Anyway, then Yorad. Then the Kohen gets down off of that tower, where he would need it to be standing on the tower in order to be able to see the Pischa Shalaychal. And then he takes an alitit, and he tzit et ha'eshba alitot. An alitit is like a thin piece of wood that you stick into a pyre in order to get the fire burning. Rabbi Akiva Omer, no, didn't use an alitit. You used chariot. Chariot are palm branches, which are big, they're like loving. And that, of course, made a bigger fire.
Rabbi, according to the Rambam, you shifted on top of the fire, so all the blood would go down into the wood and was going to be burnt up anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Anyway.
Yeah, of course. Perek Shlishi Mishnah Yud. Now, Nifka'on, it's after you light the fire, and the purpura is burned, and now it's burned to the point where the meat is actually cracked open. It's a little bit of a problem because the shear that we talk about is beruba. So the question is, why does it say nifka? Okay, so some say it's basically the same shear. Nifka, the ones the pora was actually cracked open from the edge. So now that means it was kulo burnt, in other words, and it was the edge was shalat ala completely. So again, it's a funny way to say it. The amad chutz migita. So now the kohen is standing outside of the mokum that it was burned, which is called a gat, even though it was raised, because in relationship to where it was standing originally, it's now in sort of like a hole. We call it like a gat, but it's still, we know we burnt it on top of the tower. Not al eitz erez ve'ezovu shnitolad. So like the Pasuk says, you need to throw into the Srefat HaPara an Eitz Erez Ve'ezov Shnitolat. And you cannot wait until the Parah is burnt totally. That's what we talk about, the Shir of Nifke'ah, or Ruba, instead of reducing it to Efer. Because since it says Srefat HaPara, that means that it still has to be a para and not just Efer. So you're throwing it in while it's burning. You take an Eitz Erez Ezov Shnitolat, and then, as we do in all of the places where we're mochiach a mitzvah, we say three times. So Amarlan, Eitz Erez, Eitz Erez, it really means three times. But the Tana is not going to be repeating things ridiculously. Ezovze, Shnitoladze, Shnitoladze, Shalosh Bamim, Hakol Davar Vedavar, and at each one they say, Hein, Hein, Hein. So in other words, Shalosh Bamim, Hakol Davar Vedavar, you say, Hein. And why do we do this? So the Rambam says, fascinatingly, well, why do we do this? The Mishnah doesn't explain. The Rambam says, V'kokach loma, why do we go to this extent? Because the Gemara discusses it that way when we do it for the Katsir of the Omer and so on. So V'kokach loma, l'fisha mine arazim shiva. There's seven different types of arazim, and there's four different types of ezov. And when it comes to the tolaat, there are many different ways of making tolaat. Savua Adam, Yeshet Savimoto Befua, the Yeshet Savimoto Belaka, the Yeshet Savimoto Betolaat Shani, with an actual tolaat. The Fichach Mudia Lekol, Umigalelahem, She'elu Heim Haminima Amurim Betorah. That's how the Rambam writes in the Yochas Parah, so that what we want to do over here is be Koveya specifically that these are the correct meaning and everybody should see it. Okay. We're going to talk about it. So in all of these cases, we want to make sure that we have the correct meaning and that it's put into the Srefat HaPara. Now, Perek Shlishi, Mishnah Yud Aleph. Before putting them into the Srefa, Kirachan Bishiyarei HaLashon. So the Eitz Erez and the Ezov and the Shnitolat are all supposed to be tied together. But the Shnitolat was brought originally to be extra long so that we'd be able to use the extra length to tie everything, including the Shnitolat itself, around with the remainders of the Shnitolat, and therefore it was left big in the beginning. So we have the same length of the Shnitolat as we do the Eitz Erez and of the Ezov, plus we have extra Shnitolat to go around all of them, and that way they will all fall together into the Srefat HaPara. It's a question, one moment. It's a question why we have to do that. And some say that that's because it's talking about an actual koved that we need. So it's a logistical need, because if you put them in separately, they're just going to, the heat is going to make them fly away. But the mashmaut in the sugya is that there's also a din of an aguda. So then it says, vishlich, something, which is the aguda, l'toch srefata. So the vishlich would be all together. So it would be a din and aguda, like on a lulav. Sorry, what more? Moshe?
It's one long piece.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
It's all still attached. And now, you have to put it in while it still is the Srefat HaPara. But if it's no longer a para, and now it's already Efer, so then it would be possible. That's why we wait until it opens up and we can throw it into, and then all things burn together. Nisrefa, choftimota b'maklot. Once it's fully burned, then we break it up using sticks, and we include not only the para, but all of the ashes that from the wood that was burnt with the para, it's the whole thing. That's called the Srefat HaPara, because it's the things which burn the para. And then, kovrimo tabikvarot, we want to make sure that we have absolutely clear afer without pieces of remaining bone, skin, or whatever. So we put it through sieves in order to make sure that we have very fine, thin afer. Rabbi Yishmael Omer, yeah, but if you're going to use a sieve, then you have to make sure it's Mekabel Tumah. And the same thing is true. You said you take sticks, but sticks could be Mekabel Tumah. So therefore, you use Dafka Makavot Shel Evan, and you use Kikarot, the Kvarot Shel Evan. In that way, even these things that you're doing post the Sreifa need to be with these extra Chumras of Kalim that are not Mekabel. Not the Kabbal Tumah. So this is another, which we don't pass on halacha, but I'll leave it to Rabbi Yishmael. These ma'alot ha'para continue even after the Sreifa. Now suppose you have a piece of coal, shachor, from this, the wood that has been burned, so you got a piece of charcoal, sheyesh bo efer, and it's in it, it doesn't mean it has efer in it, it means it has in it to be Afer. In other words, if you bash it up properly, then it will become Afer. It's a cute lotion, right? As we say, he's got an in him to be. So this charcoal has it in it to be Afer. So then Kochinoto. But Sheinbo, let's say it wasn't burnt very well, and it's just blackened. You're not allowed to take that and smash it up and make it part of the Afer, because then you're mixing other things which are not Afer into the Afer Apora. So then Minichimato, that you have to leave behind in the Gat, in the Mokama, where you burned it. How about a piece of bone? So Ha'etzem, Benkach u'Benkach, doesn't matter whether you can break this bone up in such a way and it's burnt in such a way that it can become Afer, or it wasn't burned fully. A bone is nichtash, and you can use that. So if it wasn't together with the afer, that's something else. But if the bone is here mixed together with the afer, and you're smashing the whole thing, that's not considered to be mixing it with something else. Now we've got this fine afer, and chokinoto, after going through this whole process, chokinoto l'shlosha chalakim, we break it up into three separate parts. One of them was the part that was the mishmeret, which we put in the chel. And remember the chel was, because it says, Vaitaladat ben Yisrael mishmeret. So remember that the chel was the area that was directly outside, which was defined that last space where there was a small mechitza that had been built between it and the actual walls of the Azara. So that was the mokum of the mishmeret. And it's machlokas whether that is what we use for the Hazayah of the Kohen, the ones that was in the Chel, whether we use that for all Kohanim, or that was used specifically for Dafka of the Kohen service at Parah. So there was the small wall, remember, that was called the Soreg, and from the distance between the Soreg and the actual walls of the Beis HaMikdash, there was a place where it was kept as a mismerash. And then one part, one of the thirds, was nitan b'har ha-mishcha. It was put on har ha-zeisim. And it's a machlokas whether that was the one that Kohanim would always be miskadesh from. And one of them was mischalik l'kol ha-mishmarot. All of the mishmarot ha-kohana were able to be metaher as part of their responsibilities. If there were Yisrael that needed the tires of Pora, they would come to the Mishmar of the Kuna, and they would then have that part of the Pora that was used for everybody. The thing is that the Rambam in Ilchas Pora says that the one that was mitchalek l'kol ha-mishmarot, that was for Kohanim. And he learns that the Kohanim, they used the bedavka, the part that was for the mishmaros, and the one that was left on Har HaMishcha, that was open for all Yisrael, and that was not controlled by the Kohanim. So it's a very different approach, Aliba the Rambam. Wow. Okay, this completes for us Perek Shlishi, some of the most important dinim of the way in which we went about it. As far as the Prati dinim are concerned, that we'll get into in the next Perek. What the halachas that would be nogea, normal dinim of kochim, things like, the pigo makshaves, shalom lishmo makshaves, and things like that, we'll see whether they are also applicable to either the shchita, the hazaya, or whether this is, again, since it's all kedusha and harabayit, it's done on the harabayit, so it's considered not to be kodesh aguf, and it just has the din of things that were kodesh with kedusha that is not kedusha saguf, whether any of the dinim apply to it. But it is called
done in our mishnah.
Yeah, what did I say?
Harbite.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yes, I meant our mishnah. Okay, Rabbi, so that we'll see Bezrat Hashem tomorrow. Meanwhile, we're getting deeper into it. Yeah.
The bashness would be that anything that's done public is also to involve the public in Otsim and eventual Stukim, as opposed to a side issue. And then I was wondering if you wanted to do that, why didn't you have him say Misakim Zeh, Misakim
Zeh? You do. You do. You actually do. It's brought in Bryce's. The Mishnah doesn't bring it. For some reason, the Mishnah says dafka those things. I don't know why, but lemaisa, it's brought halacha lemaisa that we also go on to say a lot of other items that aren't mentioned over here, and therefore, I mean, even like specific dinim that would identify, we also go into. I don't know why it doesn't bring it. Yeah. There's also other, the Mefarshim of the Mishnah, I must say, I don't understand what it means, but that indicate that we say it Shalosh Pa'amim, also because a part of the Lahotzi Milibam Shel Tzedukim, which I, like, what is the Milibam Shel Tzedukim? I have no idea. I mean, what are they doing different? So, I didn't bring that. Okay. To be continued, Bezrat Hashem. Short day. I'm happy to start the next parak if it's Ritzaynchem or...
A new recording.
I would start a new recording. I just don't know whether I'm going to lose people. We could at least do a couple of Mishnayos of the next parak. What do you say? Do we want it? We've got a Gavi thumb. I love Gavi thumbs, but it's only one thumb. So you can't say it's all thumbs. Do I have anybody else's thumb? Ah. Well, we got a Lion Cubs thumb. That's good. Akiva is not giving me a thumbs up. What's going on here? Ah, Naftali. Oh my gosh. That's incredible. That even got Akiva moving. Mikey moving. I'm ready to go. Let's move it. All right, let me start another recording.
Recording stopped.